Now that brings us to chapter 37. And what does Hezekiah do now with this word brought to him? Verse 1, we have it came to pass. When King Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. This is a man of faith, by the way. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and the Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And that's another act of faith. He wants a word from God now. Verse 3, and they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy, for the children are come to birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. Now, the message to Isaiah was a pretty dark picture, rather pessimistic. Day of trouble, rebuke, and blasphemy. Now he says it just may be the Lord, thy God, will hear the words of Rabshakeh. And this man Hezekiah has really an aberration or lapse of faith, because he speaks of the Lord as thy God. Why didn't he say our God? And he corrected it, though, when he prayed. Yeah, we'll see that in a moment. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And now what we have here is God, through Isaiah, says this, verse 6, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria blaspheme me. Behold, I'll send a blast upon him. He shall hear a rumor, return to his own land. I'll cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. He won't even fall here. He's going to fall in his own land. God declares now the destruction of Assyria. And when Rabshakeh got back to his army, he found out that the king of Assyria had left Lachish and was going down to Libna to war, because at that time the king of Ethiopia and Egypt had come up. And so we find here that the Assyrian host withdraws. And this rumor that came that the main force of the Assyrian army was being attacked by the Egyptian army, and Rabshakeh withdraws. But he sends a word to Hezekiah, said, I'll be back. And now Hezekiah in fear goes in before God. Verse 15, Hezekiah, when he received the letter now, we're told he went in and spread it before the Lord. That's verse 14. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, verse 16, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. You see, every instructed Israelite didn't think that God, their God, was a local deity that dwelt in a little box in Jerusalem. He was the God of heaven, the God of this earth, the Creator. Now he pleads with him to hear, and he asks him to deliver. And may I say that God sends now back through Isaiah the message, and I'm dropping down to verse 35, God says, I'll defend this city to save it for mine own sake, for my servant David's sake. And what happened? We're told that the angel of the Lord, verse 36, went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. When they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. And that crowd that were corpses, they didn't rise. Let's understand that. Now, verse 37, so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. Now, what happened to him? You'll have to turn to secular history to get the details, but here is what God said. Came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nishrash, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, this is actually the history you can read today in secular history. This is what happened. And this is the time that this great kingdom of Assyria began to disintegrate and was then taken over, actually, by Babylon. Because down there on the banks of the Euphrates, God has already, you remember, let Isaiah know that he is preparing a kingdom that will be the one to take the southern kingdom into captivity. Assyria would not do it, and they did not, by the way. Now, I've very briefly covered that history because we've actually covered it twice before. But my feeling is that when God says a thing one time, it's important. When he says it twice, it's doubly important. When he says it three times, he intends for us to get the message, by the way.